Part 8. Toward the Isles of Ever After. The Black Oak Room was bright with flaming torches, but brighter with the light of Saralinda. The cold eye of the Duke was dazzled by the gleaming of 1,000 jewels that sparkled on the table. His ears were filled with chiming as the clocks began to strike.
1, said Hark.
2,
cried Zorn of Zorna.
3,
the Duke's voice almost whispered.
4,
sighed Saralinda.
5,
the Goliks crowed and pointed at the table.
The task is done. The terms are met,
he said. The Duke's cold eyes slowly moved around the room.
Where are my guards?
He croaked.
And where is Krang, the greatest of them all?
I lured them to the tower, said Zorn, and locked them in. The one that's tied in knots is Krang.
The Duke glared at the jewels on the table.
They're false,
he said.
They must be colored pebbles.
He picked one up and saw that it was real and put it down again.
The task is done,
said Hark.
The terms are met.
Not until I count them,
said the Duke.
If there be only one that isn't here, I wed the Princess Saralinda on the morrow.
The figures in the room were still, and he could hear their breathing.
What a gruesome way to treat one's niece,
the Goliks cried.
She's not my niece,
the lame man sneered.
I stole her from a king.
He showed his lower teeth.
We all have flaws,
he said,
and mine is being wicked.
He sat down at the table and began to count the gems.
Who is my father, then?
The princess cried. The spy's black eyebrows rose.
I thought the Goliks told you. But then, of course, he never could remember things.
Especially,
the Golik said,
the names of kings.
Your father,
said the spy,
is good King Gwaine of Yarrow.
I knew that once,
the Golik said,
but I forgot it.
He turned to Saralinda.
Then the gift your father gave to Haga has operated in the end to make you happy.
The Duke looked up and bared his teeth.
The tail is much too tidy for my taste,
he snarled.
I hate it.
He went on counting.
It's neat,
said Hark,
and to my taste, refreshing.
He removed his mask. His eyes were bright and jolly.
If I may introduce myself,
he said,
I am a servant of the king, the good King Gwaine of Yarrow.
That,
the Golik said,
I didn't know. You could have saved the princess many years ago.
The servant of the king looked sad and said,
This part I always hate to tell, but I was under a witch's spell.
I weary of witches,
the Golik said,
with due respect to mother.
The Duke's smile showed his upper teeth.
I cannot even trust the spies I see,
he muttered. His eye moved glassily around and saw the Goliks.
You mere device,
he gnarled.
You platitude! You Goliks ex machina! Quiet, please,
the Golik said.
You gleaming thief! 998?
The Duke was counting.
999!
He had counted all the jewels and put them in a sack. There was none left on the table. He gave them all a look of horrid glee.
The princess,
said the Duke,
belongs to me.
A deathly silence filled the room. The Goliks turned a little pale, and his hand began to shake. He remembered something in the dark, coming down from Haga's Hill, that struck against his ankle, a sapphire or a ruby that had fallen from the sack.
1,000!
Groaned the Duke in a tone of vast surprise. A diamond had fallen from his glove, the left one, and no one but the Goliks saw it fall. The Duke stood up and sneered.
What are you waiting for?
He shrieked.
Depart, if you be gone forever. It will not be long enough. If you return no more, then it will be too soon.
He slowly turned to Zorn.
What kind of knots?
He snarled.
Turk's head,
the young prince said.
I learned them from my sister.
Be gone!
The cold Duke screamed again and bathed his hands in rubies.
My jewels,
he croaked,
will last forever.
The Goliks, who had never tittered, tittered. The great doors of the oak room opened, and they left the cold Duke standing there, up to his wrists in diamonds.
Yarrow, said the prince, is halfway on our journey.
They stood outside the castle.
You'll need these,
said the Golux. He held the reins of two white horses.
Your ship lies in the harbor. It sails within the hour.
It sails at midnight,
Hark corrected him.
I can't remember everything,
the Golux said.
My father's clocks were always slow. He also lacked the power of concentration.
Zorn helped the princess to her saddle. She gazed a last time at the castle.
A fair wind stands for Yarrow, said the prince.
The Golux gazed a last time at the princess.
Keep warm,
he said.
Ride close together. Remember laughter. You'll need it, even in the Blessed Isles of Ever After.
There are no horses in the stables,
mused the prince.
Whence came these white ones?
The Golux has a lot of friends,
said Hark.
I guess they give him horses when he needs them. But on the other hand, he may have made them up. He makes things up, you know.
I know he does,
sighed Zorn of Zorna.
You sail for Yarrow with us?
I must stay a fortnight longer,
Hark replied.
So runs my witch's spell. It will give me time to tidy up and untie Krang as well.
They looked around for the old device, but he was there no longer.
Where has he gone?
Cried Saralinda.
Oh,
said Hark.
He knows a lot of places.
Give him,
Saralinda said.
My love and this.
Hark took the rose. The two white horses snorted snowy mist in the cool green glade that led down to the harbor. A fair wind stood for Yarrow, and looking far to sea, the Princess Saralinda thought she saw, as people often think they see on clear and windless days, the distant shining shores of Ever After. Your guess is quite as good as mine. There are a lot of things that shine, but I have always thought she did, and I will always think so.